for that which is alienated, being deprived of the properties that belong to it, is also deprived of truth. For, after the fashion of Niobe, or, to express myself more mystically, like the Hebrew woman called by the ancients Lot's wife, are you not turned into a state of insensibility? This woman, we have heard, was turned into stone for her love of Sodor, and those who are godless, addicted to impiety, hard-hearted and foolish are Sodomites. Believe that these utterances are addressed to you from God. For think not that stones and stocks and birds and serpents are sacred things, and men are not, but, on the contrary, regard men as truly sacred, 1, and take beasts and stones for what they are. For there are miserable wretches of humankind, who consider that God utters his voice by the raven and the jackdaw, but says nothing by man, and honor the raven as a messenger of God. But the man of God, who croaks not, nor chatters, but speaks rationally, and instructs lovingly, alas, they persecute, and while he is inviting them to cultivate righteousness, they try inhumanly to slay him, neither welcoming the grace which comes from above, nor fearing the penalty. For they believe not God, nor understand his power, whose love to man is ineffable and his hatred of evil is inconceivable. His anger augments punishment against sin, his love bestows bliss rags on repentance. It is the height of wretchedness to be deprived of the help which comes from God. Hence this blindness of eyes and dullness of hearing are more grievous than other inflictions of the evil one, for the one deprives them of heavenly vision, the other robs them of divine instruction. But ye, thus maimed as respects the truth, blind in mind, deaf in understanding, are not grieved, are not pained, have had no desire to see heaven and the Maker of heaven, nor, by fixing your choice on salvation, have sought to hear the Creator of the universe, and to learn of him, for no hindrance stands in the way of him who is bent on the knowledge of God. Neither childlessness, nor poverty, nor obscurity, nor want, can hinder him who eagerly strives after the knowledge of God, nor does anyone who has conquered too, by brass or iron, the true wisdom, for himself choose to exchange it, for it is vastly preferred to everything else. Christ is able to save in every place. For he that is fired with ardor and admiration for righteousness, being the lover of one who needs nothing, needs himself but little, having treasured up his bliss in nothing but himself and God, where is neither moth, 3, robber, nor pirate, but the eternal giver of good, with justice, then, have you been compared to those serpents who shut their ears against the charmers? 4, their mind, says the Scripture, is like the serpent, like the deaf adder, which stoppeth her ear, and will not hear the voice of the charmers. 4. But allow yourselves to feel the influence of the charming strains of sanctity, and receive that mild word of ours, and reject the deadly poison, that it may be granted to you to divest yourselves as much as possible of destruction, as they as have been divested of old age. Hear me, and do not stop your ears, do not block up the avenues of hearing, but lay to heart what is said. Excellent is the medicine of immortality, stop at length your groveling reptile motions. 4. For the enemies of the Lord, says Scripture, shall lick the dust. 6. Raise your eyes from earth to the skies, look up to heaven, admire the sight, cease watching with outstretched head the heel of the righteous, and hindering the way of truth, be wise and harmless. Perchance the Lord will endow you with a wing of simplicity, for he has resolved to give wings to those that are earthborn, that you may leave your holes, and dwell in heaven. Only let us with our whole heart repent, that we may be able with our whole heart to contain God. Trust in him, all ye assembled people, pour out all your hearts before him. 7. He says to those that have newly abandoned wickedness, he pities them, and fills them with righteousness, believe him, who is man and God, believe, O man. Believe, O man, the living God, who suffered, and is adored, believe, ye slaves, 8. Him who died, believe, all ye of humankind, him who alone is God, of all men, believe, and receive salvation as your reward. Seek God, and your soul shall live. He who seeks God is busying himself about his own salvation. Hast thou found God? Then thou hast life. Let us then seek, in order that we may live. The reward of seeking is life with God. Let all who seek thee be glad, and rejoice in thee, and let them say continually, God be magnified. 9. A noble hymn of God is an immortal man, established in righteousness, in whom the oracles of truth are engraved. For where, but in a soul that is wise, can you write truth? Where love? Where reverence? Where meekness? Those who have had these divine characters impressed on them ought, I think, to regard wisdom as a fair port whence to embark to whatever lot in life they turn, and likewise to deem it the calm haven of salvation wisdom, by which those who have betaken themselves to the Father have proved good fathers to their children, and good parents to their sons; those who have known the Son, and good husbands to their wives; those who remember the Bridegroom, and good masters to their servants. 1. Those who have been redeemed from utter slavery, oh, happier far the beasts than men involved in error, who live in ignorance as you, but do not counterfeit the truth. There are no tribes of flatterers among them. Fishes have no superstition. The birds worship not a single image, only they look with admiration on heaven, since, deprived as they are of reason, they are unable to know God. So are you not ashamed for living through so many periods of life in impiety, making yourselves more irrational than irrational creatures? You were boys, then striplings, then youths, then men, but never as yet were you good. If you have respect for old age, be wise, now that you have reached life as sunset, and albeit at the close of life, acquire the knowledge of God, that the end of life may to you prove the beginning of salvation. You have become old in superstition as young, enter on the practice of piety. God regards you as innocent children. Let, then, the Athenian follow the laws of Solon, and the Argive those of Phoronois, and the Spartan those of Lycurgus. But if thou enroll thyself as one of God's people, heaven is thy country, God thy lawgiver. And what are the laws? Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not seduce boys, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. 2. And the complements of these are those laws of reason and words of sanctity which are inscribed on men's hearts. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. To him who strikes thee on the cheek, present also the other three. Thou shalt not lust, for by lust alone thou hast committed adultery. 4. How much better, therefore, is it for men from the beginning not to wish to desire things forbidden, than to obtain their desires? But ye are not able to endure the austerity of salvation. But, as we delight in sweet things, and prize them higher for the agreeableness of the pleasure they yield, while, on the other hand, those bitter things which are distasteful to the palate are curative and healing, and the harshness of medicine strengthens people of weak stomach, thus custom pleases and tickles, but custom pushes into the abyss, while truth conducts to heaven. Harsh it is at first, but a good nurse of youth, and it is at once the decorous place where the household maids and matrons dwell together, and the sage council chamber. Nor is it difficult to approach, or impossible to attain, but is very near us in our very homes, as Moses, endowed with all wisdom, says, while referring to it. It has its abode in three departments of our constitution, in the hands, the mouth, and the heart. A meet emblem this of truth, which is embraced by these three things, in all will, action, speech. And be not afraid lest the multitude of pleasing objects which rise before you withdraw you from wisdom. You yourself will spontaneously surmount the frivolousness of custom, as boys, when they have become men, throw aside their toys, for with a celerity unsurpassable, and a benevolence to which we have ready access, the divine power, casting its radiance on the earth, hath filled the universe with the seed of salvation. For it was not without divine care that so great a work was accomplished in so brief a space by the Lord, who, though despised as to appearance, was in reality adored, the expiator of sin, the Savior, the Clement, the Divine Word, He that is truly most manifest Deity, He that is made equal to the Lord of the universe, because He was His Son, and the Word was in God, not disbelieved in by all when He was first preached, nor altogether unknown when, assuming the character of man, and fashioning Himself in flesh, He enacted the drama of human salvation, for He was a true champion, and a fellow champion, with the creature. And being communicated most speedily to men, having dawned from His Father's counsel quicker than the Son, with the most perfect ease He made God shine on us, whence He was, and what He was, He showed by what He taught and exhibited, manifesting Himself as the herald of the covenant, the reconciler, our Savior, the Word, the fount of life, the giver of peace, diffused over the whole face of the earth, by whom, so to speak, the universe has already become an ocean of blessings. 5. Chap. 11. How great are benefits conferred on a man through the advent of if. Contemplate a little, if agreeable to you, the divine beneficence. The first man, when in paradise, supported free, because he was the child of God. But when he succumbed to pleasure, for the serpent allegorically signifies pleasure crawling on its belly, earthly wickedness nourished for fuel to the flames, was, as a child seduced by lusts, and grew old in disobedience, and by disobeying his father, dishonored God. Such was the influence of pleasure, man, that had been free by reason of simplicity, was found fettered to sins. The Lord then wished to release him from his bonds, and clothing himself with flesh, O divine mystery, vanquished the serpent, and enslaved the tyrant death, and, most marvelous of all, man, that had been deceived by pleasure, and bound fast by corruption, had his hands unloosed, and was set free. O mystic wonder, the Lord was laid low, and man rose up, and he that fell from paradise receives as the reward of obedience something greater than paradise, namely, heaven itself. Wherefore, since the Word himself has come to us from heaven, we need not, I reckon, go any more in search of human learning to Athens, and the rest of Greece, and to Ionia. For if we have as our teacher him that filled the universe with his holy energies in creation, salvation, beneficence, legislation, prophecy, teaching, we have the teacher, from whom all instruction comes, and the whole world, with Athens and Greece, has already become the domain of the Word. 1. For you who believe the poetical fable which designated Minos the Cretan as the bosom friend of Zeus, will not refuse to believe that we who have become the disciples of God have received the only true wisdom, and that which the chiefs of philosophy only guessed at, the disciples of Christ have both apprehended and proclaimed. And the one whole Christ is not divided, there is neither barbarian, nor Jew, nor Greek, neither male nor female, but a new man, too, transformed by God's Holy Spirit. Further, the other counsels and precepts are unimportant, and respect particular things, as, for example, if one may marry, take part in public affairs, beget children, but the only command, that is universal, and over the whole course of existence, at all times, and in all circumstances, tends to the highest end, viz. Life, is piety. 3. All that is necessary, in order that we may live forever, being that we live in accordance with it. Philosophy, however, as the ancients say, is a long-lived exhortation, wooing the eternal love of wisdom, while the commandment of the Lord is far-shining, enlightening the eyes, receive Christ, receive sight, receive thy light, in order that you may know well both God and man. 4. Sweet is the word that gives us light, precious above gold and gems it is to be desired above honey and the honeycomb. 5. For how can it be other than desirable, since it has filled with light the mind which had been buried in darkness, and given keenness to the light-bringing eyes of the soul? For just as, had the sun not been in existence, night would have brooded over the universe notwithstanding the other luminaries of heaven, so, had we nor known the Word, and been illuminated by him, we should have been nowise different from fowls, that are being fed, fattened in darkness, and nourished for death. Let us then admit the light, that we may admit God. Let us admit the light, and become disciples to the Lord. This, too, he has been promised to the Father: I will declare thy name to my brethren, in the midst of the church will I praise thee. 6. Praise and declare to me thy Father God, thy utterances save I him teaches. 7. That hitherto I have wandered in error, seeking God. But since thou leadest me to the light, O Lord, and I find God through thee, and receive the Father from thee, I become thy fellow heir. 8. Since thou weft not ashamed of me as thy brother. 9. Let us put away oblivion of the truth, viz. Ignorance, and removing the darkness which obstructs, as dimness of sight, let us contemplate the only true God, first raising our voice, in this hymn of praise, in, Hail, O Light, for in us, buried in darkness, shut up in the shadow of death, light has shone forth from heaven, purer than the sun, sweeter than life here below. That light is eternal life, and whatever partakes of it lives, but night fears the light, and hiding itself in terror, gives place to the day of the Lord. Sleepless light is now over all, and the west has given credence to the east, for this was the end of the new creation. 4. The Son of Righteousness, who drives his chariot over all, pervades equally all humanity, like his Father, who makes his sun to rise on all men, and distills on them the dew of the truth. He hath changed sunset into sunrise, and through the cross brought death to life, and having wrenched man from destruction, he hath raised him to the skies, transplanting mortality into immortality, and translating earth to heaven. He, the husbandman of God, pointing out the favorable signs, and rousing the nations to good works, putting them in mind of the true sustenance. 11. having bestowed on us the truly great, divine, and inalienable inheritance of the Father, deifying man by heavenly teaching, putting his laws into our minds, and writing them on our hearts. What laws does he inscribe? That all shall know God, from small to great, and I will be merciful to them, says God, and will not remember their sins. 1. Let us receive the laws of life, let us comply with God's expostulations, let us become acquainted with Him, that He may be gracious, and though God needs nothing, let us render to Him the grateful recompense of a thankful heart and of piety as a kind of house rent for our dwelling here below. Gold for brass, 800 oxen is worth for that of 92. That is, for your little faith He gives you the earth of so great extent, to till, water to drink, and also to sail on, air to breathe, fire to do your work, a world to dwell in, and He has permitted you to conduct a colony from here to heaven with these important works of His hand, and benefits in such numbers, He has rewarded your little faith. Then, those who have put faith in necromancers, receive from them amulets and charms to ward off evil forsooth, and will you not allow the heavenly word, the Savior, to be bound unto you, as an amulet, and, by trusting in God's own charm, be delivered from passions which are the diseases of the mind, and rescued from sin? For sin is eternal death, surely utterly dull and blind, and, like moles, doing nothing but eat, you spend your lives in darkness, surrounded with corruption. But it is truth which cries, the light shall shine forth from the darkness. Let the light then shine in the hidden part of man, that is, the heart, and let the beams of knowledge arise to reveal and irradiate the hidden inner man, the disciple of the light, the familiar friend and fellow heir of Christ, especially now that we have come to know the most precious and venerable name of the good Father, who to a pious and good child gives gentle counsels and commands what is salutary for his child. He who obeys him has the advantage in all things, follows God, obeys the Father, knows him, through wandering, loves God, loves his neighbor, fulfills the commandment, seeks the prize, claims the promise. But it has been God's fixed and constant purpose to save the flock of men for this, and the good God sent the good shepherd, and the word, having unfolded the truth, showed to men the height of salvation, that either repenting they might be saved, or refusing to obey, they might be judged. This is the proclamation of righteousness to those that obey, glad tidings to those that disobey, judgment. The loud trumpet, when sounded, collects the soldiers, and proclaims war. And shall not Christ, breathing a strain of peace to the ends of the earth, gather together his own soldiers, the soldiers of peace? Well, by his blood, and by the word, he has gathered the bloodless host of peace, and assigned to them the kingdom of heaven. The trumpet of Christ is his gospel. He hath blown it, and we have heard. Let us array ourselves in the armor of peace, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, and taking the shield of faith, and binding our brows with the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. 3. Let us sharpen. So the apostle in the spirit of peace commands, these are our invulnerable weapons. Armed with these, let us face the evil one, the fiery darts of the evil one. Let us quench with the sword points dipped in water, that have been baptized by the word, returning grateful thanks for the benefits we have received, and honor in God, through the divine word. For while thou art yet speaking, it is said, he will say, behold, I am beside thee. 4. O this holy and blessed power, by which God has fellowship with men, better far, then, is it to become at once the imitator, and the servant of the best of all beings, for only by holy service will anyone be able to imitate God, and to serve and worship him only by imitating him. The heavenly and truly divine love comes to mend us when in the soul itself the spark of true goodness, kindled in the soul by the divine word, is able to burst forth into flame, and, what is of the highest importance, salvation runs parallel with sincere willingness, choice and life being, so to speak, yoked together. Wherefore this exhortation of the truth alone, like the most faithful of our friends, abides with us till our last breath, and is to the whole and perfect spirit of the soul the kind attendant on our ascent to heaven. What, then, is the exhortation I give you? I urge you to be saved. This Christ desires, in one word, he freely bestows life on you. And who is he? Briefly learn, the word of truth, the word of incorruption, that regenerates man by bringing him back to the truth, the goad that urges to salvation. He who expels destruction and pursues death, he who builds up the temple of God in man, that he may cause God to take up his abode in man, cleanse the temple and pleasures and amusements abandoned to the winds and the fire as a fading flower, but wisely cultivate the fruits of self-command, and present thyself to God, as an offering of first fruits, that there may be not the work alone, but also the grace of God. And both are requisite, that the friend of Christ may be rendered worthy of the kingdom, and be counted worthy of the kingdom. Chap. 12. Exhortation to abandon their old errors and listen to the instructions of Christ. Let us then avoid custom, as we would a dangerous headland, or the threatening Charybdis, or the mythic Sirens. It chokes man, turns him away from truth, leads him away from life. Custom is a snare, a gulf, a pit, a mischievous winnowing fan. Urge the ship beyond that smoke and billow. 1. Let us shun, fellow mariners, let us shun this billow. It vomits forth fire. It is a wicked island, heaped with bones and corpses, and in it sings a fair courtesan, pleasure, delighting with music for the common ear. Hie thee hither, far-famed Ulysses, great glory of the Achaeans. Moor the ship, that thou mayest hear's diviner voice. 2. She praises thee, O mariner, and calls thee illustrious, and the courtesan tries to win to herself the glory of the Greeks. Leave her to prey on the dead. A heavenly spirit comes to thy help. Pass by pleasure, she beguiles. Let not a woman with flowing train cheat you of your senses, with her flattering prattle seeking your hurt. Sail past the song, it works death. Exert your will only, and you have overcome ruin. Bound to the wood of the cross, thou shalt be freed from destruction, and the word of God will be thy pilot, and the Holy Spirit will bring thee to anchor in the haven of heaven. Then shalt thou see my God, and be initiated into the sacred mysteries, and come to the fruition of those things which are laid up in heaven reserved for me, which ear hath not heard, nor have entered into the heart of any. 3. And in sooth methinks I see two suns, and a double Thebes. 4. Said one, frenzy-stricken in the worship of idols, intoxicated with mere ignorance. I would pity him in his frantic intoxication, and thus frantic I would invite him to the sobriety of salvation, for the Lord welcomes a sinner's repentance, and not his death. Come, O madman, not leaning on the thyrsus, not crowned with ivy, throw away the mitre, throw away the fonts, can come to thy senses. I will show thee the Word, and the mysteries of the Word, expounding them after thine own fashion. This is the mountain beloved of God, not the subject of tragedies, like Cithaeron, but consecrated to dramas of the truth, a mount of sobriety, shaded with forests of purity, and there revel on it not the Menades, the sisters of Semele, who was struck by the thunderbolt, practicing in their initiator rites unholy division of flesh, but the daughters of God, the fair lambs, who celebrate the holy rites of the Word, raising a sober chorale dance. The righteous are the chorus, the music is a hymn of the King, of the universe. The maidens strike the lyre. The angels praise, the prophets speak, the sound of music issues forth. They run, and pursue the jubilant band. Those that are called make haste, eagerly desiring to receive the Father. Come thou also, O aged man, leaving Thebes, and casting away from thee both divination and Bacchic frenzy. Allow thyself to be led to the truth. I give thee the staff of the cross, on which to lean. Haste, Tiresias, believe, and thou wilt see. Christ, by whom the eyes of the blind recover sight, will shed on thee a light brighter than the sun. Night will flee from thee, fire will fear, death will be gone. Thou, old man, who saw not Thebes, shalt see the heavens. O truly sacred mysteries, O stainless light, my way is lighted with torches, and I survey the heavens and God. I become holy whilst I am initiated. The Lord is the hierophant, and seals, while illuminating him, who is initiated, and presents to the Father him, who believes, to be kept safe forever. Such are the reveries of my mysteries. If it is thy wish, be thou also initiated, and thou shalt join the choir along with angels around the unbegotten, and indestructible, and the only true God, the Word of God, raising the hymn with us 5, this Jesus, who is eternal, the one great high priest, of the one God, and of his Father, prays for, and exhorts men. Here, ye myriad tribes, rather whoever among men are endowed with reason, both barbarians and Greeks, I call on the whole race of men, whose creator I am, by the will of the Father, come to me, that you may be put in your due rank, under the one God, and the one Word of God, and do not only have the advantage of the irrational creatures in the possession of reason, for to you of all mortals I grant the enjoyment of immortality, for I want to impart to you this grace, bestowing on you the perfect boon of immortality, and I confer on you both the Word, and the knowledge of God, my complete self. This am I, this God wills, this is symphony, this the harmony of the Father, This is the Son. This is Christ. This the Word of God, the arm of the Lord, the power of the universe, the will of the Father, of which things there were images of old, but not all adequate. I desire to restore you according to the original model, that ye may become also, like me. I anoint you with the unguent of faith, by which you throw off corruption, and show you the naked form of righteousness by which you ascend to God. Come to me, all ye that labor, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden light. 1. Let us haste, let us run, my fellow men us, who are God-loving and God-like images of the Word. Let us haste, let us run, let us take His yoke, let us receive, to conduct us to immortality, the good charioteer of men. Let us love Christ. He led the colt with its parent, and having yoked the team of humanity to God, directs His chariot to immortality, hastening clearly to fulfill, by driving now into heaven, what He shadowed forth before by riding into Jerusalem. A spectacle most beautiful to the Father is the eternal Son crowned with victory. 2. Let us aspire. Then, after what is good, let us become God-loving men, and obtain the greatest of all things which are incapable of being harmed, God and life. Our Helper is the Word. Let us put confidence in Him, and never let us be visited with such a craving for silver and gold and glory, as for the Word of Truth Himself. For it will not be pleasing to God Himself, if we value least those things which are worth most, and hold in the highest estimation the manifest enormities, and the utter impiety of folly, and ignorance, and thoughtlessness, and idolatry. For not improperly the sons of the philosophers consider that the foolish are guilty of profanity and impiety, in whatever they do, and describing ignorance itself, as a species of madness, allege that the multitude are nothing but madmen. There is therefore no room to doubt, the Word will say, whether it is better to be sane or insane, but holding unto truth with our teeth, we must with all our might follow God, and in the exercise of wisdom regard all things, to be, as they are, His, and besides, having learned that we are the most excellent of His possessions, let us commit ourselves to God, loving the Lord God, and regarding this as our business all our life long. And if what belongs to friends be reckoned common property, and man be the friend of God, for through the mediation of the Word has he been made the friend of God, then accordingly all things become man's, because all things are God's, and the common property of both the friends, God, and man. It is time, then, for us to say that the pious Christian alone is rich and wise, and of noble birth, and must call, and believe him to be God's image, and also his likeness. 3. Having become righteous and holy and wise by Jesus Christ, and so far already like God, accordingly this grace is indicated by the prophet, when he says, I said, that ye are gods, and all sons of the Highest. 4. For us, yes, he has adopted, and wishes to be called the Father, of us alone, not of the unbelieving, such is then our position, who are the attendants of Christ. As are men as wishes, so are their words, as are their words, so are their deeds, and, as their works, such is their life. Good is the whole life of those who have known Christ. Enough, methinks, of words, though, impelled by love to man, I might have gone on to pour out what I had from God, that I might exhort to what is the greatest of blessings, salvation. 5. For discourses concerning the life which has no end, are not readily brought to the end of their disclosures. To you still remains this conclusion, to choose which will profit you most, judgment or grace, for I do not think there is even room for doubt which of these is the better, nor is it allowable to compare life with destruction. Taken from the Early Church Fathers and Other Works, originally published by W.M. Beardman's Pub Company, in English in Edinburgh, Scotland, beginning in 1867, ANF 2, Roberts and Donaldson.